Today's message, I pray that you're going to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, because I believe it's relevant to today, and I believe it's what God is speaking to the church at large, because he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish, and you're part of that. And we need to see areas of our lives that we are compromising in or that we don't have boundaries set. And what is God's heart when it comes to boundaries? No one likes to talk about it, but you understand that when he created the earth, he created it with boundaries, correct? Or boundaries. The reason why there's a night and day, they're separated. The water is separated from dry land. There's boundaries. You know, he does things for a reason. And so as we get into this day, you can look at the notes on the app. They're on the app. If you have the app, they're there. But we're going to dive right into it in Romans chapter 1. And start reading in verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles." In other words, instead of worshiping God, they started worshiping the things he created. "And therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." We know we attribute Paul writing this book, and he is very bold as he begins to outlay who God is and how long God's been around. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes have been seen." That means that even though you may not proclaim to know God or have a belief in God, you can just look outside and know that there is a God. And so there is not an excuse as to whether or not you do not know. And this is a hard scripture to look at, because people grapple with the truth where I never knew or I never understood what Paul is writing and says, you really are without an excuse, because just look at the trees. Look at how the earth is spinning and look at the magnificence of nature, not only of nature, but look at the magnificence of the universe and how you can't quantify how big it is. Because when you actually begin to try to measure it, you can't measure it. It actually is going up and out exponentially. It's not something that is narrowing. It's actually getting wider as you go out. And God says, I'm infinite and I'm eternal. There is none like me. And so you can't compare anything to me. And so if you ever doubt who God is, I just want you to peek your head out the window every once in a while. Just take a look at the earth and see how it's operating right now, and see the clouds and how different the clouds look and the colors and the schemes, and how one night it'll be one color and the next night God will throw in another color and you'll see something different. And so day after day, the Bible says that even the skies pour forth speech. And so you don't have an excuse, because God's talking in the clouds. And so we live in a world today that's trying to dissuade God at every single avenue. And God says, you know what? I just want to remind you that I have boundaries. God has boundaries. And the first boundary that God has is humanism. God said, when it comes to your ability to rationalize life's problems or your existence, it's a boundary for me. Because what you do is you begin to look at yourself in your own wisdom as apart from looking above to divine wisdom. And anytime you look at yourself for wisdom as opposed to looking above to divine wisdom, you get yourself in trouble. You start to try to figure out life's problems by yourself in a very limited mindset that you have. Cognitively, you can't understand everything that God has created or solve the problems of life with your mind the way it is. And he says, I have a problem with humanism. And if you would look today, we have a problem with humanism. People are trying to solve world problems with something that they just think is good, and they're experimenting, just trying to see if it'll work. And God says, I got a boundary in that. I got to separate myself from that. And let me just help you understand what it means where it says, well, they knew God, but they didn't glorify God. When you look up this word, it means that they knew God by firsthand experience. They had an understanding of God, but they also experienced God. But even in the experience of God, they decided that they didn't want to have anything to do with God. And God said, okay, if you don't want to have anything to do with me, I'll turn it over. I'll turn you over to your own lusts and your own sinful desire. It's not that they didn't have a relationship or understand who God was. They experienced him. And so we have a lot of people today, and you might know a lot of these people, who had an experience with God, who walked with God, or maybe God did miracles for them, but they choose not to walk with him and believe he is who he says he is. And God says, I'm serious about this point. So serious that there are going to be many people who stand before me that say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done all these things for you in your name? And Jesus is going to look at him and says, depart from me. I never even knew you, you who worked or practiced lawlessness. You did all these things, but you did not have an intimate relationship with me, because if you had a relationship with me, you would abide by my law. And that's what we have. We have a lawless society. People trying to outskirt or get around the law that God has placed. And anytime you try to supersede or get around the law that God has placed, there's what? There's anarchy and there's chaos. There's chaos. So if you expect God's blessing or God's peace, God said the only way that's going to happen is if you understand and begin to submit to my law. My law. It's my law. Apart from that, there is no peace. So humanism. The second thing he says that I have a boundary against is idolatry. Idolatry. So much so that we see in the Old Testament when God was dealing with the Israelites that many of them died because of their worship of idolatry. They raised up things and they created things rather than worshiping God. And God said, I'll have nothing to do with that. And as a result, there was a penalty for it. Idolatry. Idolatry. Yeah. It may not be a Buddha statue. It might not be a calf you create, but it could be something else in your life that you place before God that you worship more than him. And God said, I will divorce myself from that because that I'll have no other gods before me. And so if there is something in your life or something that you see that is raised up above God, God says, I can't have any part of it. And so it's a wonder why you feel sometimes, I don't feel as close to God like I should be. It's because there's something in the place that you are actually in love with more than you are with God. And God said that if you want to be in love with me, that all these other idols and all these other suitors have to go. Have to go. They have to go. Because you can only love me, and remember, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then love your neighbor as yourself, not the other way around. Don't worship the creation, worship me first. Then you'll put your creation in proper perspective, because you know I created the creation just for this season of your life, not so you can hold on to, but so you can know that I give and I take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't hold on to the creation. Hold on to the creator. And God said, what I'm doing is I'm taking all that stuff, all your crutches out, all that stuff you're holding on to, I'm kicking them all out, and I'm making you flail and try to grasp and hold on to me. All that other stuff that you love and that you worship more than me, I'm taking them all away. Because it is now taken my place. My place. Idolatry. And you worship the thing that you spend the most time with. I'm all for a relationship, a fruitful and prosperous relationship with my wife. He said, be fruitful and multiply. I'm all for that. But when that relationship begins to take place of the relationship that I have with God, then it becomes an idol. Even in marriage, it can become an idol. And so there are a lot of people today who in the name of Jesus, who are doing good things for Christ and they're living for Christ, but on the side, they got some idols. Whenever this is not working out, it's, come on, what you doing? Oh, thank God. Comfort. And you hold on here, and God said, why'd you turn from me? Well, because it's not easy, and it's not comfortable, and it requires submission, and it requires sacrifice. And I can't do that. It's hard for me to do that. And so I need my comfort. Remember, I need this. Whatever this is, I need. God says, I want what's in your back pocket. No. I want what's in your back pocket, because every time it gets hard, you do this. Oh, thank God. Thank God. And so I'm going to cutting, but I'm cutting in places that you're trying to hide from me. And if you continue to hide it, I'm going to continue to try to go and expose it, because remember, I can see. And so what it's doing is it's taking my place, and not only is it taking my place, it's actually crowding you out. If you would just look for yourself and what it's doing for you. The third thing is perversion. He said, I'll have nothing to do with humanism, idolatry, and especially perversion. Notice this. The first two lead to the third. In my own thought process, I'm going to rationalize that it's okay for me to be in a relationship with this individual or thing and worship them more than God. And God said, because of that thought process, you are going to succumb to the lust that is inside of you that, if not properly dealt with, is going to result in death. And because of that, you have a lot of people running around dying internally because they're in love with some sort of fantasy or creation that God never intended them to be in love with. Never intended. So he said, I'm going to drive out all these enemies. I'm going to drive out all these enemies. So you have nothing left to stand on except you and I. You and I. Because if you're really honest, that there are things in our life that are perverted, and God said, I need to deal with this perversion. Now, you might not want to admit it and raise your hand and be like, oh, yeah, it's me. I'm perverted. But what will happen is that you'll kind of on the side, you know, you got something going on, I'm perverted. But what will happen is that that stuff will begin to pollute your perspective and your relationship with God, because it's perverted. And first of all, let's talk about this. Fear is perverted faith. That's all it is. Because the enemy can't create, all he does is create the opposite of it. Or not create, what he does is he tries to copy it and mimic it. So, well, if it's not faith, it's going to be fear. Well, it's the opposite. And so what happens is that then all of a sudden you begin to walk in life, and you wouldn't consider yourself perverted, but you are. You are. And we have a lot of people who allow this perversion to come into their life, and they think that it's okay. And there's this gospel that's preached a lot that talks about, well, God, he'll forgive anything. He'll forgive anything. God's a God of grace. It's irresistible grace. God loves me. And we're kind of like cheerleaders, and these are the type of people that cheer, right? They cheer. It's all right. It's okay. God's going to forgive me anyway. This is their life. It's all right. It's okay. God's going to forgive me anyway. And this is what they do on their Instagram. It's okay. It's all right. God's going to forgive me anywhere, half naked. It's all right. It's okay. God's going to forgive me anywhere. I know I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. It's okay. It's all right. It's okay. God's going to forgive me anyway. It's just porn. It's all right. It's okay. God's going to forgive me. And all this time, and all you're doing, God's, and God says, you know what? I'm not. I'm going to turn you over to yourself just so you see life without me. Just so you see how it is without me. That if it wasn't for me staying your hand or keeping your mind together, you would self-destruct. I'm going to let you see it. I'm going to let you drown in your sorrows until you look up and say, oh, he is the one. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But I'm going to let you see it. I'm going to turn you over. If you want it that way, go ahead. Go ahead. You want to pervert justice? I'll let you see the results of it. If righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, that's the foundation. You don't think that God looks out on the earth to execute in a righteous and just way. And we think, well, I'm not going to do it his way. I'll do it my way and I'll get away with it. God says, watch what I'll do. Watch what I'll do. I'll start to expose things because it's perverted. I don't like the way you're doing it. I'm going to show you some stuff about that situation. And you're shocked to see all the stuff that God begins to uncover because it's not righteousness. It's not justice. It's perverted. And God says, I want to expose it so you can see it. I'm not a God who lies. I don't wink at sin. I see everything. And in time, I'll begin to lift stuff up. But somehow we think that God doesn't see. And God's, it's like an arm's length transaction. You know those in real estate? It's like, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. I don't really want to interfere. You know. But we'll get the deal done. God says it doesn't work that way. There are deal breakers with me. What does that mean? God says, I'm not going to be intimate. I want to have a relationship with you based upon these three things. These are my boundaries. Well, that's not fair. No, but he's righteous and he's just. How do you expect to go before a holy God, have a relationship with God, but you have something that you're hiding from him and expect that it's going to be cool? What we do is that every, and this is what you have to know about God. Every once in a while, God will come in and start cleaning stuff up. I don't care how long you've been walking with him. I don't care. He'll come in with a broom every once in a while. Just sweeping stuff up. What are you doing? How you doing? I'm doing good. What are you doing? I'm pruning. I'm pruning because I want you to bear fruit. You're already clean because of the word I spoke to you. I'm not talking about salvation. Now I'm talking about fruit. The fruit I'm seeing, some of it's got to be cut off. So that something better can grow in his place. So don't mind me, and I'm just cutting. And I'm cutting because I love you, and don't worry about it. I know what I'm doing. Don't worry about it. Well, I don't like that process. Well, that is the process. The process is, as I abide in him and he abides in me, guess what? I begin to bear fruit, and that fruit, he wants to remain. Not the type of fruit that I just get, and all of a sudden I lose when the next pressure comes in. I did good, right? I did good. God's not interested in you going like seasonal stuff. Every once in a while, you got the fruit, but now you lost the fruit. Now that's not, no. God said, I want you to stay. I want that fruit to remain. So when I cut precisely because I want that seed that I'm planting inside of you to really grow roots so that when hardship comes, and the cares of this life come, and worries come, that you got that seed, it's been watered by the word, and the roots are so deep that you don't even move. You might bend, but you're still bearing fruit. You know, you can still bear fruit in tough seasons because you have a relationship with God. There's no excuse why you can't bear fruit in tough seasons. Tough seasons actually qualify you to bear fruit. It's actually the breeding ground for fruit. It's the breeding ground. Not when the sunshine is out all the time and I'm feeling great and all of a sudden things are working in my life the way I want them to work. Oftentimes, it's when things are not working the way I want them to work. All of a sudden, fruit is being bore on my behalf. The fruit of patience, kindness, guess what? Faithfulness. You can all read it in Galatians. Yes, all that stuff. But also hope, perseverance. All that stuff is being built in those times. Not in the times where I'm worshiping God and we are on a cloud together, but in the times of toughness and difficulty when things are happening. God is doing something in the hard places, the rocky places, and he's doing something deep down inside that's going to last. So when the tough times come, guess what? You're still there. I'm not halfway to atheism. I'm still there. I'm still in God. I'm still worshiping. I'm still praising God. Even though I'm tearing up, I'm still worshiping God because God is cutting. He's doing what he has to do. But guess what? My faith is being built. It's being born. I've got hope. I've got joy. I've got peace. In those times, God says, just stay there and allow me to cut. You'll like the way you look. Just stay there. That's the time, God says, I want you in and out. Stay there. so that when tough times come, like pandemics, viruses, that the church doesn't leave, the world doesn't shut down, and people don't question the existence of God, but the church of Jesus Christ says, yes, sir, we will ride. We'll stay in it. That's the type of church that God wants. You. That's the church. The church who's in it. I want to win. Do you? Check these three. Humanism, idolatry, perversion. God's boundaries. Those boundaries, yeah. Perversion. Go a little bit deeper with perversion. Taking things that are natural and making them unnatural just because you don't like the way the natural feels. So you don't have a problem. What your real problem is the way God has designed it. That's your problem. And because you buy into this lie that says inclusivity is the way to God's heart, what you do is that you allow things in your life that God says are totally counterintuitive and counterproductive for your growth. Totally. There's a reason why light and darkness don't mix. You can read 2 Corinthians. There's a reason why there's no fellowship between Christ and the devil. There's a reason why he says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I'm not talking about you don't have a relationship with an unbeliever. I'm not talking about either an intimate relationship. So if you are involved with an unbeliever, and I'm not looking at anybody in here per se, but if you are involved in a relationship with an unbeliever that is intimate, you need to check yourself, especially sexually. Because you are now perverting things that God says, that's unhealthy for you. It's unhealthy. But I believe I have the antidote and that person can change. You're not the change agent. You're supposed to do what God has called you to do and develop a relationship with him. But how are they going to be reached? God will position people to reach people. He'll do that. But not at your expense. To where all it kills your progress, and all of a sudden now you start to do a deep dive until your position in God now begins to change. So now we have a situation where it's like, well, I'm trying to reach people, but you're doing it in a perverted way. And so intimacy is being forged and developed where God says, you cross boundaries now. You know, once you cross a boundary, it's very difficult to go back. Ask any mental health counselor, a good one. Because you feel like you have the right to be in a relationship, a healthy, prosperous relationship. Listen, Lord, help me with my mouth today. No sex is that good for you to stay in a relationship that God says there's an unequal yoke there. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I don't care what she does. I don't care what he does. No, there's nothing that good to put you in a position that robs your relationship with God and the satisfaction that you have with him. I'd rather be at peace with myself than at war with someone else just because of the fact that I like the pleasure of the 7 seconds. All this stuff on the side. Yeah, it's okay. I just got these side rides. I got these things on the side I'm doing. Really? You got these things on the side? How's that working for you? How's that working for you? Listen, you can't stand a look at that person, but you like what they do for you. And so you're in a relationship with people or because you want to feel good, and God says, cut that thing off. We got a lot of people in church. We got friends with benefits. We're talking today. We got people at church. Yeah, this is the church. We're talking. We got friends with benefits. That's cool. We're just friends. Let's go. But when you feel lonely, hey, what you doing tonight? Just thinking about you. Fighting with yourself emotionally, trying to satisfy needs outside the confines of the boundaries that God has set up for you to be healthy. And so you go looking for trouble, and guess what you're going to find? You're going to find trouble. So well, it's just, yeah, you're going to find trouble. And what it is God will forgive me. But what's it doing to your conscience? This is my concern, the things that I see. If you are that open about certain things in your life, the state of your conscience bothers me. Especially when you talk about Jesus and talking about having a relationship with him. There are certain things that you just can't do having a relationship with him. You understand what I'm saying? There's certain fruit I don't bear just because of the relationship that I have with Christ. So when I see fruit being bore and someone who professes Christ, it doesn't line up with me. No, that's not the Jesus I'm with. No. So how does this pertain to you? So these are some of your boundaries also in the relationships that you have with people. I'm trying to help you understand today also. Not just in your relationship with God, but now these three things you apply to other people. When you have a relationship with, well, now what do I do now? Okay, first thing, all right, what's this person's thought life like? You ever get around someone and say, you know what, they might be a good person to connect to until they open their mouth? Shut that thing down. When they rationalize who they are and what they do just because, it's a checkpoint for you to say, we'll probably stay at this distance. That's a boundary for you. So if your most intimate relationships are with people who don't have the same mindset that you do, you're in the wrong relationships. I'm sorry, you're in the wrong one. You got to find someone else. I'm not saying they got to be like you and do what you do. But the mindset has to be along the same wavelength. How could two walk together unless they agree on something? Can we agree that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came and he died upon the cross and that we can have everlasting life because of him? Yeah, we can start there. But when I go and I'm looking to pick relationships and God's been good and he helps me set boundaries, that's a big one for me, because if you're going to rationalize the existence of God, we're not going to get very far. Because I'm up on this level, you're down on this level. It's not going to work. But you got to be strong enough in yourself to say, God's got someone else coming for me. Guys, I'm serious. I'm talking about your friendships. I'm talking about your work relationships. All just because we have a need to be needed, don't let that need frustrate you to the point of where you go outside God's will for you just because you think and that you have FOMO. You're missing out. You're not missing out on nothing. Because they're the ones who come up to you later and start talking about, hey, you know what? Can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? I'm really struggling. I know you are. I know you are. And you got to be careful. Well, now you want me. You know, you got to be careful about that stuff. And so they're the same ones who are struggling in the time of need because you're solid and they're liquid. They need something to stand on. And all of a sudden, you're there to try to point them in the right direction. I don't care how it looks. I want to have someone who's stable as opposed to someone who's struggling day after day after day after day in their relationship with Christ. It don't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. There are certain things that God asks you to do just to let things go. He asked Abram, he said in Genesis 12, get out of your country. And get to the place. Get your family out. Get to the place I'm going to show you. Get to that place. Don't worry about it. Along the way, I'll show you. But it required him leaving what he knew to go do something different, because God was going to establish a new line. Hello, Father Abraham had many sons. I'm one. Because he got out and said, I'll go. Send me. I'll go. And because of his obedience, we're here today. And God does the same thing with you. If you'll just do what I asked you to do, I'll start something new in you, and then we'll break off generational curses just because of your obedience, and you won't have to continue to walk through this cycle over and over and over again. It's not worth it. Perversion. And this is something that you got to look out for, especially in people in your relationships. Number two, idolatry. And so if you got people in your life that you're in a relationship with, and they start to exalt you above God, it's time for you to check out, back up, set a boundary. I feel like I'm becoming your hero, and I can't be. I know someone who can be. I can't be your hero. I can help be a lifeline and connect and spur you on, but I'm in such a different place right now, emotionally and healthy, that I can't afford to take on your baggage. And all of a sudden that now you're out weighing me down because I got to become your hero. And like you're texting me every single day about the same problem. No. I'm not your hero. People asked me before, and I've joked around with some people in here, do you do counseling? Yeah. Yeah. It's simple. It's real simple. How's that going? Right there, your relationship with God. How's that going? Well, let's try to fix that, one. Okay? So, two, are you around a community of people? Well, you know, this whole COVID thing, you know, back and forth. You never know, right? No. Yeah, okay, okay. Two, are you around people? Okay. Take the mask down so I can talk to you, number one. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Help me, Jesus. I'm trying to talk to you, and I got to decipher your breath in between your mask and what you're saying right now. It's like, listen, yes, I want the chicken fingers with the mashed potatoes. That's what I said. Okay. What did you say? You heard what I said. Okay. And we got to get this close to talk. So we got to help alleviate some of these problems here. So let's take down the mask, and you, symbolically also. Let's take, because this is what it is. Let's take down this mask. You're walking around in fear right now, and you don't have no reason to walk around in fear right now. If you don't know the Lord, I get it. But let me help you with this. Take down the mask, so we can have a conversation, so I can see where you're really at. Because you're hiding behind that mask. I really can't see your expression. Oh, come on, man. It's the same thing. Idolatry, too. Three, perversion. Relationship with people. All of a sudden, they start to get a little awkward in their belief system. It's time for you to, I got a boundary here. Well, there's nothing really wrong with all this stuff that's out here right now. There's nothing really wrong. Inclusivity is awesome. God loves everyone. There's nothing really wrong with that. Come on. Don't you love everyone? What's wrong with you? So what happens is that we got to take a stance. Now, hold on one second. Hold on. So it has nothing to do with me not loving people. It has everything to do with what I believe is true. And so if you're going to pervert truth, we have a problem. So if you want to, now you're going to wake, if you want to wake someone up or wake something up, you pervert truth, and all of a sudden the Christian who's walking with Christ will come alive. They should come alive. So because something in their spirit says fractured, there's a rub that's there for a reason. No, that's incorrect. Let me tell you what it's really like. It's this way. And so you have to do it at risk of being rejected and ostracized because you know it's truth. But I can't be, if you're going to pervert truth, we're going to make it about 8 seconds into our conversation, and I'm going to drop a truth on you, and it's going to sever it. And I'm cool enough to not be liked by you. Because I know I'm exclusive to the Lord. So your inclusivity doesn't tempt me to leave my exclusivity. And I don't have to change for anyone or anything. And so what we do is we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's like a party, and we've all been to parties, some good, some bad. And so sometimes you'll have a tire on the party, right? It'll be like, hey, come dressed in your best, dressed to impress. Okay. And it's similar in our relationship with the Lord. So we've got God the Father who's like, hey, listen, I want to invite you to the party, okay? I want to invite you to the party. My son's the host. He's the host. So here's the attire. The only thing I require for you is I need you to wear just righteousness. Okay? Righteousness. Because that's all that is, righteousness. So for the believer, you're cool with that because you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're cool. You're like, I know I'm pretty solid. I know it. Okay, there are things I'm dealing with, but I know I'm righteous. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm cool. There are things, God sees it, he knows it. Okay, but then you have other people who play the game. They play the game. So, and one thing you learn about God is God doesn't like playing games. So we come up and we profess to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. Woo! We show up to the party and the Lord says, now I don't see, you're not wearing righteousness, man. What you are wearing is humanism. I see idolatry. I definitely see perversion. So we got a whole host of people professing to be Christians. I love Jesus, worshiping on Sunday. During the week, totally different story. Totally different story. And so you know when you're dealing with people who are like this. But the only requirement, he said, is I want you to come righteous. That's it. Wear righteousness. Okay. But not just positionally, Maria, righteousness. Also practice righteousness. Practice. That's what I want you to do. Practice it. So if you're coming before me and we want to have our intimate relationship with one another, but you're still dealing with and you still hold your opinion above mine, and there are still things in your life that you exalt above me. And there are still things that you believe that are incorrect according to my word. It's going to be hard for us to have a relationship that's open and honest unless we can deal with some of this stuff. But what happens is we have a lot of people who don't like to deal with all this stuff because it's too uncomfortable in the name of being inclusive. And where in the Bible does it talk about that? I don't get it. It's like we take portions of scripture and we don't like that portion. We don't like our God as a consuming fire. We don't like that. We don't like that one, definitely. We don't like give and it should be given back to you. Heck no. We don't like that one. Okay? And so all of a sudden we don't like that. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Endurance. What? Nobody signed up for that. And so all of a sudden, forget the book of Acts. It's a death book. I like John. I like John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, love books. All about love, but no justice. All about love, but no righteousness. Love, no consequences for sin. Love, no grace. Love, no truth. And you can't have one without the other. You can't have one without the other. And so God is saying, I'm trying to help you see the reality and the truth of my word. If you want to have a relationship with me that's thriving and that we're going places, we got to deal with your thought life. We got to deal with what you're raising up. And we got to deal with what you're doing in secret. All that stuff we got to deal with because it's blocking the flow. It's blocking it. And you can use any excuse that you want over the past year. If it has not done one thing, it's done another thing. But what it has revealed is the kink in the church's chain. Or kinks. As God has pulled you back so that you could see what's really happening in the world. Not only that, but for you to understand and see people for where they really are at. I would venture to say there are people in here that you've had a relationship with that you see them in new eyes right now. With new eyes. Because the higher you go with Christ, the lower they got to go. What do I mean that way? Because some people can't go with you to where God's taking you. And so if you got boundaries in your life, they're there for a reason. And sometimes God will begin to just pull people out. Unbeknownst to you, you'll look back and say, where'd they go? And God said, you're on a different plane right now. Lord, where'd they go? I got them out. I didn't see it. You didn't need to. And so we got people right now, and what God's trying to do, and some of you might be in this position where you're at right now, you're trying to go up with God, but they're holding on to your ankles, man. They see you going up, and they're trying to, man, come back. But humanism. Hey! Idolatry, remember, it's okay for us to be in a relationship of compromise because it feels good. And then perversion. Remember, I don't remember any of that because I see Jesus. And when Jesus calls you, all the things of this world grow strangely dim. And things begin to fall off you. I can't tell you how many times that God has presented me with the option. Hey, you're going to come in and do it my way. Or there are going to be consequences from doing it your way. Which one do you want? And having lived long enough and having seen the consequences of the former and doing it my way, well, I'm going to do it your way. Because when God gets in, guys, there's power that's there that helps you resist humanistic thought, idolatry, and perversion. It's all there. If you allow God to get in, because God will begin to saturate that stuff out of you. And all of a sudden, it's there. And so now you're in relationship with people. You're like, I can't believe I was in relationship with that person. And God said, I know. See what I did for you. If nothing else, you need to just be thanking God for the people that he took out of your life. I even thank God for the people that he kept into. It's cool. Don't forget about them. I'm not saying don't forget about them. They're cool. But just be thinking about the people that God just let go away. Because it forced you to find where your true worth and value is. And gave you a position of power that you probably didn't have before. If it wasn't for God doing what he did and severed and cut, you probably wouldn't be in the place that you are right now to make some of the decisions that you're making and also be confident in who you are. Isn't that what God's heart is for you people? God's heart is for you to be confident. There's no reason why the children of God, God's kids, should be walking around staggering and knowing who they are. This is what we do when we put stuff on like this. Rather than being confident in who we are, we let a little bit in at a time. That's not bad. That's not bad. We're not walking straight anymore, are we? And all of a sudden, something else comes in, and now we're in a stupor. And despite popular opinion, sober judgment and being in a sober mind is a lot more productive and beneficial than being drunk. I'm not just talking about drunk alcohol-wise, but being drunk on your own ego.
Wow, come on.
Being drunk about what you think about. Being drunk on what God created. No one's talking about not having pleasure in life. But what we are saying is not having or allowing pleasure to have you. There's a reason why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. It's not that God didn't have anything else to do. He said the outcry of the city was so bad, he said, I got to come down and take care of this thing right now. If you don't think that God takes care of stuff and that there's consequences for sin, just start reading different portions of especially the Old Testament where God said, but time's up. But time's up. There's not enough righteous in this city. I'm going to get some out, but make sure when you run, don't look back because I'm about to take care of the city right now. And remember the days of Noah, it was so wicked. God said, man, every intent in their heart is evil. It's all evil. I'm destroying the earth with a flood. You know, all this stuff that's there. Angels slaying people, just in the Old Testament. What? Yeah, that God. Because God said, I'm going to take care of business. In the wilderness, most of them died out just because I'm sick of them, God said. Idolatry. Humanism, all three of them. Humanism, idolatry, and perversion. All three. God said, I'm done. Well, it's all right. It's okay. God's going to forgive me anyway. Really? Until the day you wake up and the reality of it is these are the consequences, nation, that we have incurred because righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. I don't like what's going on. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is, it's not rocket science. It's not. You've drifted from foundational principles that God said, these are the principles. You want to take me out of school? We're going to have problems. Guess what? 50, 60 years ago, now it's critical race theory. You took me out of school. If I would have stayed in, might have been different. But guess what? Humanism. The people I love are not here anymore. The Lord gives. He takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But they're mine. They're not idolatry. Lord, it's okay what I do in secret because it's between me and my body. It's my body. He said, I purchased it. Therefore, glorify your body, which is mine. Let's all stand on our feet. Popular messages don't provoke change. They don't. What they do is they tickle the ears of the hearer. And makes them feel good. And lulls them into a false sense of security that I'm okay. I'm okay. God's going to forgive me anyway. And you don't realize that the truth of God's word is the truth of God's word. He loves you, but here's the truth. I want you to think about your life. When have you ever really gotten away with something? Even when mom didn't see it. When have you ever really gotten away with something? There was always some sort of payday. Always some sort. Because God says, I'm not going to wink at it. The wages of sin is death. There's going to be some sort of death that's going to take place. I'm sorry. And so for you to live a life that says, I'm going to do what I want and expect God to forgive me, is not even biblical. I mean, let's go back to the beginning as we close. But even as Paul said, even take away everything else, Malia, even creation says there's a God. So even in that, doesn't your conscience speak to you and say, there are probably some things about my morality that need to probably change or adjust. Even certain people of certain religions say, you know what? Good works should be done, even though it may not be a correct perspective. Because good works don't get you into heaven. But even those that you would counter or say, I'm a believer, I'm spiritual, know that there's some sort of moral code that, guess what? Murder is wrong. How much more for the believer? Well, the believer that said, I'm a believer, I'm the one. Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. But carry all this weight upon themselves and expect that me and God, we're ride or dies near God. We're going all the way. But you got all this weight on your back and you got no power. And anytime it's challenged, you crumble. How is God supposed to raise you up and you're going to be a trophy of his grace if you crumble every time pressure comes in or you're challenged in your faith? How are you supposed to stand up? I believe in God. If you deny me before man, guess what? I'll deny you before the Father. But if you say, no, Jesus is who he says he is, he says, all right, I got you. That's not very loving. It's truth. It's truth. It's truth. If you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before the Father. I want you to think of that day. Think of that day that Matthew 7 talks about. When people are standing before the Lord, thinking that they're there. They've done it. They've raised the dead. They cast out demons. They healed everyone. And Jesus looks at him and says, Bob, you did all these things. But you never let me in, and we never had an intimate relationship. I was knocking on the door of your heart, trying to help you deal with your humanistic viewpoint, your idolatry, even though you were preaching about me and all that perversion you were doing on the side. That stuff I was trying to help you deal with because I wanted to have a relationship with you for eternity, not for 70 years. But you wouldn't let me in. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you, but I did good. It's not about you doing good. Were you obedient? I sent your mother. I sent your brother. I sent your sister. I try to help people around you, speak into your life and say, God's trying to help you deal with stuff. But you said no. What time do you think you have? Well, I got a lot of time. Do you? Okay, I'm going to go. And you heard this philosophy. I'm going to take care of some of my stuff in my 20s. And I'm going to come back later. You ain't coming back. What time do you have? He said, today is the day of salvation. Today it is. At any moment, it could be over. And you're standing before Jesus Christ or whatever your belief system is. It will be tested or challenged at the end of your life. Are you willing to bet that your belief system, your humanistic thought process about life after death is all there is? Or are you willing to open up your heart and say, no, there is someone greater than I, and I believe that there is an afterlife that I will go on living, not like a cockroach, but I will go on living for eternity. Are you willing to bet your life on your limited viewpoint of what you think life after death is about? Or are you willing to give Jesus a chance? And knowing that when you get to the end of your life, you won't have an excuse. Hear it today. There is no excuse. No excuse. None. But Lord, none. Because he said, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Yeah, the ones who don't confess now, guess what? You are the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't have to tell me. I just got in your presence and I knew.
Amen.
Father, every person in this room, Lord, everyone who's your kid, called to be your son and your daughter. We thank you for the saving grace of your son. We thank you for reaching down not a point where we couldn't save ourselves, and stirring us up, cleaning us up, knocking on the door of our heart. Because you wanted us. You saw something about our life that needed to be fixed. And I thank you, God, for that mercy and grace that found us. Every person in this room has a story. God, we thank you for your saving grace. We thank you for the mercy that you showed us and that you do show us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the grace to continue to. Thank you for those even now who have come afar off. Those that were entangled in sin and perversion and idolatry. Lord, how you've taken from afar off and you placed them in the kingdom of your marvelous light. God, those that were homeless, they found a home in you. Thank you, God, that orphans and widows, those have found a home in you. God, we weren't even looking for you, but you were looking for us. Thank you, God, for sending people across our paths just to witness and to let us know about who you were. Thank you, God, for giving us signs about who you were, helping us to look up. God, we thank you that you've given us the sky to look up and see that you are talking. Thank you, God, for giving us an ear to hear what your spirit is saying and what you were saying even through nature. God, what you were even saying through the times today. What you're saying even through the persecution and the trouble today. Thank you, God, that you're always speaking. Help us, God, to be attentive to your ear. Help us to be the soldiers on the field going to battle every single day and standing up for what you believe and what, God, what we believe to be true. Thank you, God, so much that you've given us weapons. And we said this before, weapons that are not carnal, but they're mighty in you to the pulling down of strongholds. God, strongholds, those things that people escape to in order to escape reality. I thank you, God, that those are going to be thwarted, that people, God, are not going to be able to imagine themselves above or apart from you, that you're going to bring them back into relationship with you, soundness of mind. God, there's going to be clarity of thought, that you're going to raise your church up to a beacon of light, to be a place where people are healed, they're set free. God, people know the truth, and when they know the truth will set them free. Thank you, God, for building an army, for strengthening your people for these times. We thank you, God, these are the times that you've called us to live in. These are the times that you've raised us up in, that we're not going to doubt it, we're not going to be upset about it, but we're going to take up arms and say, whatever it is you want us to do, we're going to do. Thank you, God, for setting people free from apathy, generational curses, things, God, in secret that haven't, God, I thank you that you're going to loose them, God, into freedom, loose them into peace, that people will know who you are in an intimate way. And every time relationships or a thought that comes in that is humanistic, they're going to recognize it and say, that's not of God. Every time something comes in that tries to exalt itself up against the knowledge of God, they're going to say, that's idolatry. And God, anytime something is perverted that is not according to your word, they're going to see it as perversion and recognize, no, that's not truth. It's perversion. I thank you, God, that people are not going to be afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, God, that we have power in this place. Thank you, God, that as we leave here today, we're going to leave in power, that we're going to know who we are in you, that we're going to know you in an intimate way, that our ears are going to be unclogged, your eyes are going to be open to see the truth of your word, and that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. Let me ask you this real quick before we go. You can bow your head, you can open them up, whatever you want to do. If there are people in your life right now, there are things right now, what we talked about today, you know it. Humanism, idolatry, perversion. There are those three things. There are people in your life right now that you feel like are being affected by those three things. I want you just to slip your hand up and look at me real quick. You just know it's coming. You know they're getting hit. Lord, for those people who are dealing with these three, there are others, but these three, give them the wisdom to speak truth into the lives of their friends, their relationships, their family members. Help not to back down, but to stand up for who you are. And we thank you, God, that you've given us the boldness to be able to do so. Bring clarity to confusion. Bring power to where there's weakness. Bring hunger to where there's a thirst, but they're going to thirst for righteousness. And when they do that, they will be filled. I thank you for filling them to overflowing. And as you do that, God, we're going to see a great outpouring of your spirit in these last days, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.